This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The acquittal of George Zimmerman in the highly charged case where a young teenager was shot and killed by him has caused a lot of protests, of demonstrations, of upheaval within the United States of America and, frankly, around the world, especially in Germany. You see, in Germany, anti-Americanism is already rising due to the NSA spying activities, even though nobody seems to really know how much the German government was involved in this. But now it's being portrayed in light of this acquittal that America is still a country where there is a lot of racial discrimination and a lot of racial profiling going on. In this case, however, that issue was never an issue. Now, I understand that the left liberal media and certain, I would say, radical moderators and commentators made it an issue, tried to make it an issue, resorting to misrepresentations, to innuendos, and outright lies. But you see, it was never really an issue and should have never been one. You see, a very interesting article was published by Breitbart on July 13, 2013, just before the verdict came in, the verdict of not guilty. And here's what this article said. As we await the verdict in the trial of George Zimmerman, the Florida man who claims to have shot and killed teenager Trayvon Martin in self-defense, this seems the perfect time to reflect on the media's cynical and dishonest role in turning a local crime into a national obsession. The mainstream media did everything in its still potent power to not only push for the prosecution of Mr. Zimmerman, the police originally chose not to charge him, but also to gin up racial tensions where none needed to exist. It all started with the black anchor of a major television network, and they're talking about Al Sharpton, inserting himself in the story to spread division and hate. It continued straight through to the closing days of the trial when another major news network, desperate to keep a fabricated racial narrative alive, propagated the portrayal of Zimmerman as part of a racial group that doesn't exist, the quote-unquote white Hispanic. In between, there has been an astonishing amount of malicious fraud and lies, all in an effort to serve a president, stir racial hatred, and influence the judicial system. A small detail that the Obama administration and the media apparently missed was that the white versus black racial narrative they were preparing to invest so much into was missing just one thing, a white person. In their zeal, the media and Democrats likely assumed that someone with the last name Zimmerman had to be white. But they were wrong. Zimmerman is Hispanic. Never once to back off a good narrative, rather than use this revelation to tramp down tensions or correct the reporting, the media simply made up out of a whole cloth a new racial category. The white Hispanic. On March 19, CNN went to extraordinary lengths to claim Zimmerman had uttered the racial slur coon when he had not. Now, some still insist today that he did, but there's no evidence for that. It goes on to say, CNN wouldn't officially retract the defamation until April 5, long after it was too late. President Obama made huge news when he stepped before the cameras, demanded action in the Zimmerman case, and famously said, "If I had a son, he would look like Trevin." In just 2 days, a network news anchor, Mr. Sharpton, and an American president had blasted the Zimmerman case into the nation's top story and did so based on a racial narrative without a shred of evidence to support it. Almost every other major news outlet would now commit every journalistic sin imaginable to fabricate evidence. By late March, it was widely known that George Zimmerman was Hispanic. This did not stop the Boston Globe from using its pages to describe him as a white neighborhood watch captain. Even though Zimmerman is Hispanic, and there was no evidence of any racial motivation behind his actions, the media's racial hysteria was at this point in full bloom. Desperate to keep a non-existent racial narrative alive, during a broadcast of the PBS NewsHour, Gwen Ifill falsely stated, and I quote, "Martin, who was black, was on his way to a convenience store in a mostly white-gated community when George Zimmerman, who is white, shot and killed him after a disputed altercation." After the arrest and as the trial date neared the following year, NBC would allow Al Sharpton to turn his primetime MSNBC show into a platform dedicated to convicting Zimmerman. And if you have followed the history of Al Sharpton, you know this man is putting race into issues where race is not an issue. But the myth of racial profiling continues. As Fox News reported on July 13, 2013, today justice failed Trayvon Martin and his family, said Rosalind Brock, chairman of the NAACP, in a statement. "We call immediately for the Justice Department to conduct an investigation into the civil rights violations committed against Trayvon Martin. This case has re-energized the movement to end racial profiling in the United States," and on the story goes. Al Maurer of the Washington Times, however, agreed with Breitbart, what Breitbart said in their article, and this is what he said on July 14. "From the beginning, the media sought to play the story as white-on-black violence. It fits the narrative of the white man oppressing the black man. The only problem is that Zimmerman isn't white. He is Hispanic. Alter the facts. The media creates a new racial category, white, Hispanic. For the story to work, however, the black man as victim must be innocent. Trayvon Martin was pictured as an innocent young man. Youthful pictures of him were released, more recent ones suppressed. To fill the role of oppressor, Zimmerman had to be made to look like one. While flattering pictures of Martin were used, the most unflattering ones of Zimmerman accompanied them. Zimmerman was portrayed in the popular press as a vengeful vigilant, just looking for the opportunity to shoot someone. As time wore on, Zimmerman didn't appear so menacing. Martin didn't appear so innocent. In contemporary America, it is just not the media who pushed the narrative. The president himself commented on the case well before the facts were known. But facts don't matter, after all. The narrative does. Recent press reporting indicates that the Justice Department had been involved as well. The race baiters Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, the article goes on to say, have been prominent in pushing the narrative too. Ominous warnings of riots in case of an unfavorable, that is not guilty, verdict were sounded. Six women, mostly white, had the courage to decide not guilty when the mob screamed guilty. You know, if a lie is repeated often enough, ultimately it's being looked upon as a truth. And I'm telling you right now, in Germany, virtually every major newscast and newspaper and magazine is telling you the story that America is still a racially divided country, and this case is supposed to prove that, and there's racial profiling going on, and a white man shot a black man, and on it goes. And as I said, anti-Americanism is on the rise. And let me just say that those who fabricated the story here in the United States have some culpability now that anti-Americanism is rising in other countries. You see, the tragedy is that none of that is really the crux of the matter. According to the New York Post of July 14, 2013, Donald Trump made the following statements, and I believe he is right on. He said, "Zimmerman is no angel, but the lack of evidence and the concept of self-defense, especially in Florida law, gave the jury little other choice." See, the problem is, my friends, that this law which is called the Stand Your Ground Law, allows anyone to shoot and kill someone if he thinks he is being threatened. Not that he actually has to be threatened. The belief that he thinks he is threatened is enough to take your gun and to shoot and kill someone. See, this has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with racial profiling. Do you believe that if Mr. Zimmerman would have been black, the same outcry would have occurred? Or if a white man would have shot a white man? No, the problem is the law and the jury duty system, because the jurors, as Mr. Trump rightly said, were of course obligated to follow that law, however unjust and ridiculous it might be. That, my friends, is the problem. Now, at the same time, now we are being told, and President Obama said, that we are a nation of laws, and so now we have to respect the decision of the jury. Are we a nation of laws? I want to quickly read to you from an article which was published by the Washington Post, dated July 12th, which was actually written by Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky Republican and a member of the Senate Foreign Relations and Homeland Security Committees. This has to do with Egypt. He said, Egypt has undergone a coup, deposed its leader, and the military has installed a new president. The situation is unpredictable, unstable, volatile. The country remains in a state of unrest. U.S. law states, very clearly, I add, that we cannot send military and other types of aid to any country whose duly elected head of state is deposed by a coup. U.S. law clearly says that we cannot send such aid where the military plays a decisive role in that coup. This law allows no presidential waiver. Aid cannot be reconsidered or restored until a democratically elected government is elected. Now, what's America of today is doing? They still are sending fighters, they're still sending weapons to Egypt as we speak. Now, Mr. Rand points out that the United States has cut off weapons aid in the past after military officers overthrew civilian governments in the Ivory Coast, the Central African Republic, Fiji, Honduras, and Mali. In Egypt, however, the regimes are constantly changing, our foreign aid policy never does. This week, he said, I introduced legislation again that would cut off foreign aid to Egypt. We either have a nation of laws or we don't. But in this particular case, I dare to predict military aid will continue because now the government and the Congress, Republicans and Democrats alive or alike as a whole, refuse to say that this was a coup. Because if it wasn't a coup, then they can continue, of course, giving military aid. Now, everybody in his right mind will have to say this was a coup. I mean, if there was ever a coup, that was one. Are we a nation of laws? We are saying in the Zimmerman case, we should be one, and we should respect the verdict of the jury based on a ridiculous Florida law. But here, when it comes to Egypt, nobody seems to care. When it comes to spying activities around the world perpetrated by the NSA and the United States of America, not too many seem to care in this country, not even in other countries. Why is that? It seems to be so totally illegal, unconstitutional. Why is it that we don't care? Because we have become oblivious to what's right and what's wrong. I hope that you are different. I hope that you have a sense of decency, a sense of justice, and a sense of what is right in the eyes of God, because that is what really counts. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.